Egypt Central breaks up and then you guys start this band. What have the last couple of months been like for you?
I think really, you know, the last year has been a whole lifetime within a lifetime. The things that have happened to me over the course of the last year have just been, you know, some of the, you know, most strenuous and stressful times of my life, and then yet counteracted by some of the most wonderful and exciting times of my life. So I really, you know, Egypt Central came to such an abrupt end. Personally, John felt like he couldn't continue anymore, and that was March of 2012. And I think really Blake and I just started writing music mostly because that's how we therapeutically deal with things. It's how we've always been. And as we started to write, we started to really realize that we had a whole new thing here and something that we felt like was on the cusp of a changing music environment. And just really, really excited to get out, get touring, to have the record come out May 7th and be released to the public and start to have people hear this music. It's just, again, a dream come true, and I feel like we're just really blessed to be where we're at.
How do you think fans of your older work will feel about this this album, Time and Pressure?
I think that if you like Egypt Central, you'll enjoy Devour the Day. I know that the music writing style, Blake and I wrote 99% of Egypt Central anyway, and so there is a strong rhythmic section, but at the same time, you know, we took some musical risks that we've never taken before, and I think that fans in an ever-changing musical climate as today, I think they can really enjoy the new kind of sounds that we've also, in the addition to just good old-fashioned hard rock.
What do you think this project allows you to do that some of the older projects that you've been involved in didn't?
I think that, one, lyrically, being able to write for ourselves as opposed to for John gave us the ability to kind of dive deeper than we ever have into the honesty of our lyrics, the authenticity of our lyrics. And not that we weren't writing that way with Egypt Central. I just think that as we've gotten older, we've gotten better and more honest. It's also given us the ability to connect with our family and friends on a level that we've never been able to before. So I just think that the main difference is, you know, an older, wiser approach. And also, you know, just the ability to really show all of our influences as opposed to just the active rock influence that we might have had before.
Okay, can you talk a little bit about the album's first single, Good Man? How was that written?
Good Man was written at a point where I personally felt like the things that were happening to me and the you know, the loss of my relationship, the loss of my band, where I was in my life, I just got to a point where I wondered if was there something that I did that brought all this upon me. And I think that most people can relate to a place in your life where you don't even know exactly what you believe anymore. You're just kind of crying out to anyone who will listen. I think in those moments, the only thing that I felt that I could do was write about it and sing about it, kind of pour my soul out. And then I showed the first bit of lyrics to Blake, and he really started to help develop the sound that is behind what, you know, what Good Man became. I think that culmination of you know, Blake relating so heavily to what I was talking about, and then having such incredible musical ideas really helped to develop the song that is Good Man now.
Okay, what about Get Out of My Way? The bass line that starts that song off is just so awesome. I mean, how did that all come about?
Actually, I was staying out. We were staying out like at a family friend's farmhouse where Blake had like a barn with a studio in it. And I went out to stay there a couple of days, and I woke up one morning and kind of just had that bass line in my head and couldn't get it out. I had to figure it out, so I sat there all morning for the first hour when Blake was still asleep, pounding coffee and writing that bass line. And I brought that to him almost immediately, as if Blake had woken up with a riff in his eye and in his mind. The next riff of the song, which is like this very climatic, you know, cut up kind of choppy riff he had, they went so well together, and yet they're such from opposite sides of the musical spectrum than what you would typically hear people do, that we just felt like, wow, what a unique sound and what a culmination of of different influences that really kind of started to maneuver its way into being that song.
Okay, so right now the band has two touring members. Are there any plans of them joining the band permanently, or are you guys looking for two more permanent people, or like what's the mindset?
I think right now we're all just getting along so well with the way things are working. I think that's with Blake and I having put almost a year of really hard work into this. We want to protect it, as closely as possible, but I think also the other guys feeling like they want to earn their stripes before they become member two. So I think that's something maybe we talk about as we go into a second record. So right now, it is just Blake and I are the members, and then we have two touring guys that are out with us.
Okay, how do you want this album to ultimately, be remembered in your whole catalog, in your, your resume of music?
Honestly, I believe in this music so much, and I feel such a home here, that I feel like people will say ultimately that this is what Blake and I were always meant to do, and that everything that we've done up to this point was leading to this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that the legacy that I want to leave with this is a triumph and beginning to what will be the rest of my career and the rest of how I make artwork and make music. And so it really is such a beautiful Phoenix experience that I want to kind of be remembered here as Blake and I rise from the ashes and develop this new project.
There are a lot of musicians out there that were, in similar situations to you as they were in a successful band, a band that, toured and got a lot of notoriety, and then that band kind of falls to the wayside and then they just disappear. That's not happening with you and Blake. What advice would you give to a young musician that's in that situation and doesn't know what the next step is?
I would say, first of all, you're going to be scared shitless, so just become comfortable with that. And second of all, that, all things that are worth something, you have to work for and you have to take the risk. And I think in some sense, playing it safe never gets you anywhere. And also that, it's that important to realize when you know that there are things that are keeping you from where you're supposed to be, you have to remove those from your life. Or you will just perpetuate the same results over and over and again. I feel like our situation is a lot like an addict. When we put so much time in Egypt Central, it felt like there was a shelf, but there was also this kind of no way out feeling. I think that was mostly personally between band members. At this point, I think that Blake and I think that, the happiness that we feel now just shows that maybe it was always getting us ready for this. And this will actually be I don't know. You never know when the crossroads are going to happen. You have to just believe in yourself and keep going. I know that sounds cliche, but it really does ring true. And you have to live that day. You can't just say it.
Have your long-term goals in music changed over the past year, or are you still just, do you still have the same ideals and goals that you had before the Egypt Central breakup?
No, everything has changed, my friend. I really do believe that. The band that I want to be, the people that I want to reach, the audience that I want to capture, the things that I want to talk about, the discussions I want to start, the conversations that I want to intrigue people with, have all, become different for me and on a much more mature level. And my approach to how I do these things, how serious I am about the artwork that we make, is on a completely different level for me. And I think the same for Blake. And so I think the largest difference is that this is what Blake and I really feel will be what defines us as musicians in the coming years.
Considering the way, the music scene is now, especially with digital downloads, the whole album experience is it's not a formality, it's just something that a lot of younger, music listeners don't embrace the same way that older, music fans do. Considering that, a lot of people will download a song here, a song there, on an album before they buy the whole thing, what song do you think on Time and Pressure, kind of encapsulates the message of your art?
I think that, Blake and I have really tackled so many different subject matters on this record. But I think more so than one particular song, I think that you can find one particular song to match the way that you are feeling out of the 11 tracks on here, which makes it great for our people who listen to the whole record, because it is this multi-dimensional movement of both sound technique and lyrical approach. But at the same time, you can scan the record and find the two or three that really connect to you as a younger listener and still love the music that the Valley of the Day makes. And I think that a lot of people might have fear of the change of the musical climate, but Blake and I really feel like embracing it and learning to be creative within that is what makes you a part of the movement of music that evolves and goes on, not instead of the people that kind of stay behind and complain about the way it used to be or the way it was, you know?